Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, flu, COVID and RSV. Hospitals are under huge pressure this week. Graham Dwyer's appeal gets underway around now. We'll have the latest. Argentina are through. Poland sneak into the last 16 on goal difference. It's the business end of the World Cup and football journalist Guillaume Balaguer will join us a little bit later on. We had so many questions for him the last time that our health insurance expert Dermot Good is back with all the answers on renewing your policy. So do get in touch today. You can text us on 51551, email todaycb@rte.ie, or on Twitter we are at Today with Claire. Now, before we start with our first item, later on we're going to be talking about that compelling Sean Quinn documentary series which wrapped up last night. Hundreds of thousands of people were glued to it over three nights on RTE1 television. So journalist Ian Keogh will be here to talk about what we learned, and we'll hear again some of those extraordinary interview clips from Sean Quinn. But we'll also be joined in the studio by the former IBRC chairman Alan Jukes, who gave his side of the story in that series. But perhaps the contribution that people are talking about most from Alan Jukes is this one.
Border people have it in their blood. They are living in communities that have, you know, a long history of violence of different kinds, and they're more easily turn to it than anybody else will. You know. I mean, I'm not saying they're different animals from the rest of us, but you know, whether they have Provo links or V special links or whatever, you know, it's something that's nearer to the way they think than it would be to somebody in South Tipperary or anywhere like that, you know.
You won't be surprised to hear there's been a huge reaction to those comments, and Alan Jukes will be with me here in the studio over the course of the next hour. He's going to explain, we hope, what he meant by that. And if you want to tell us what you thought when you heard it, text us on 51551. But first, the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen will address a joint sitting of the Houses of the Oireachtas today to mark 50 years of Ireland's membership of the European Union. The war in Ukraine, energy supplies and Brexit are all expected to be on the agenda when she attends a working lunch with Micheál Martin at government buildings. And joining me on the line now for more on this is Hugh O'Connell, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Independent. Hugh, thanks for joining us on this morning. How significant is this trip?
Well, I think it's pretty significant because it's rare enough that you get an individual addressing a joint session of the Oireachtas. I mean, Jean-Claude Juncker was the last Commission President to do it. And more recently this year, we had obviously the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky addressing both the Dáil and Seanad in the Dáil chamber via video link. Ostensibly, she's here to mark 50 years of Ireland's membership of the European Union. But I think as well, it's significant in the context of Micheál Martin's term as Taoiseach coming to an end. I mean, one thing I think that's become clear over the last couple of years is the very strong working relationship that the Taoiseach has built up with Ursula von der Leyen. They're someone that they're of a similar age, of a similar political generation, and although they're kind of part of different political groupings in the European context, they've worked very closely together on the vaccine rollout during the COVID-19 crisis, and obviously they would have been coordinating a lot around that and around shortages of supply and issues that arose around new variants and so on and so forth. So, I think that she's coming really, I suppose, as a mark of respect somewhat to Micheál Martin, and we see that there's going to be this working lunch at government buildings. There's going to be a brief photo opportunity, I think, although no questions from the media. And then she's also meeting President Michael D. Higgins, and I think, you know, her speech will probably focus on what Europe has been dealing with this year, which is primarily the fallout from the war in Ukraine, but also obviously Brexit, which is still looming in the background there. Mm-hmm. And I suppose there's hopes that the new administration in Downing Street will pave the way for a deal to be done there on the protocol.
Are we expecting her to say anything on that, you know, to show signs that there's perhaps a breakthrough in the offing when it comes to the protocol?
I wouldn't expect that she'll give any strong indications of a breakthrough being imminent. I mean, I don't think a breakthrough is imminent at this stage. I'd be surprised if there was any sort of a breakthrough before Christmas. You know, I think that the mood music has definitely improved since Rishi Sunak came into Downing Street. He's seen as someone, I suppose, who's a bit more pragmatic when it comes to trying to resolve these arrangements. We've had stories, although later denied by Downing Street, about how Britain wants Swiss-style ties with Brussels into the future and frictionless trade. But, you know, equally, we have a story in the Irish Times today about the European proposals to basically hit back at the internal market bill, which threatened to upend the protocol. It's still weaving its way through the UK Parliament, and the EU in response is saying that it would allow that under these enforcement powers that it's giving itself, they could suspend free trade and other benefits that have been agreed with the UK if they violate the protocol or the trade treaty.
Hugh, you mentioned there how Micheál Martin seems to get on very well with Ursula von der Leyen, that relationship built up over the course of COVID. This will be one of his last big set-piece events, though, before the handover to Leo Varadkar. So it'll be interesting to see, won't it, how that relationship plays out under the new Taoiseach.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's nothing to indicate that Leo Varadkar won't have a good relationship with Ursula von der Leyen. And indeed, they are of the same political grouping, the European People's Party. And Leo Varadkar would have been Taoiseach when von der Leyen, when it was agreed by European leaders at the EU Council in 2019 to appoint von der Leyen as the European Commission President. So they would have worked together before. But I mean, as I said, you know, one of the things when I was writing the Pandemonium book about the pandemic with Jack Horgan-Jones from the Irish Times, one of the things we kind of discovered in our reporting is the level of contact that Micheál Martin and von der Leyen had during COVID-19 was very strong. They'd text each other a lot. They'd phone each other a lot. You know, they have that sort of working relationship, I suppose, that you wouldn't necessarily expect a European Commission president to have with one of the smaller member states. And I think, you know, the Taoiseach is someone who speaks very highly of her and of her grasp of the issues. And I think that we're going to we're going to see von der Leyen probably say some very nice words about Micheál Martin today.
Have you any news for us on the reshuffle that we're expecting, however minor it might be, on the 17th of December?
I'm afraid I don't, Claire, in the sense that it's all in the realms of speculation at the moment. Even you talk to people around government and they're all in the dark as well. Lots of speculation going around that the strong narrative weaving its way through Leinster House at the moment is that the changes will be very minimal, that there might be some changes in the junior ranks. I think it's quite interesting. You're having a lot of junior ministers out on the airwaves over the last few weeks. You had Josepha Madigan out yesterday. I think you had Sean Fleming on your own programme. And these are ministers, I suppose, that are hoping to retain their jobs or at least hoping to stay as ministers of state in the reshuffle. At cabinet level, there isn't a huge expectation of major changes there. You know, there's a lot of talk about Stephen Donnelly being potentially at risk as the health minister. But, you know, there's a view as well, I suppose, that changing health minister midstream and only changing health minister and not making many other changes at cabinet would be almost admitting that it was the wrong decision to put him there in the first place. So I think he potentially has a strong chance of remaining as minister for health. But the important caveat with all this, Claire, is that really nobody knows, and I don't even think the coalition leaders, the three leaders, have had a serious discussion about this.
Well,
we know there's going to be changes between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, probably at junior ministerial level more likely. But we know, for example, that Green Party leader Eamon Ryan has said he's not going to change any of his cabinet ministries and he's not going to change any of his junior ministries either.
That's what he hopes anyway. Only 16 more sleeps, Hugh, until people like you and me find out about this stuff. Thanks very much for joining us.